Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Welcome to Thanks for the Knowledge, FanBite's weekly news show rounding up the headlines in games and entertainment in one handy podcast. I am not your usual host, John Warren. He's actually out on vacation and will be back next week. I am Andrea Sharon, your guest host for this week, here to fill in and fill you in on some of the biggest stories making the rounds within the last week. Usually you see me on FanBite as a weekend news editor or helping out over at Linkshell, our Final Fantasy XIV vertical, but I've been around quite a bit extra lately. I hope everyone's doing well out there and managing to stay cool if you can. I think where I'm at, it's finally starting to see a bit of an end to the heat wave out here in Texas. Thankfully, John has escaped that out on his vacation, but I think we do have plenty to keep us busy through the heat. It's Soul Hackers 2 month this month, plus Xenoblade 3 just came out, I believe, a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week. We also got a Final Fantasy 14 update dropping, hopefully here at the end. A couple of things that we'll probably touch on a little bit coming up here. And actually talking about some of that in our recent headlines. So this week, I was lucky enough to be joined by FanBite Senior Managing Editor Miriam Strom to go through each of the week's biggest headlines. So let's go ahead and jump into that conversation now. All right, I'll go ahead and get things started with our chat this week. There's not a ton of earth-shattering news, but of course, some really cool things to still talk about anyway. So I have actually asked FanBite Senior Managing Editor Miriam Strom to come help us break it all down. Miriam, how are you? And thank you for joining us this week.
I'm good. Thank you for having me on. And also, I'm glad to hear you say your own name out loud because people have been trying to gaslight me into thinking that it's Andrea for weeks now.
I've been everything. Andrea. Someone wrote Andrew on my Starbucks cup not long ago.
That's so great.
I was like, oh, well, that's a whole different name.
Good.
No, not that. My little cousins call me Anja. So if you can't pronounce it, then that's fine too.
Anja. I used to have trouble pronouncing Sasha. That was a cousin of mine. I used to say like Sasa.
That's cute. That's precious. So now I'll respond to Anja too. If anybody doesn't like Andrea either. I am so glad that I get to host this week and have you on. We do have some stories that I think you and I can talk circles around and some that I am not quite so familiar with. But we can go ahead and get started maybe on some League news if you are a League liker, Miriam.
Yeah, I mean, I used to be to a certain degree. I was always way more of a Dota person. I don't know if you know this about me, Andrea, and Anja. Yeah, no, I was out of college. I played Dota 2 for Red Bull Esports. Not as a competitor, but as a journalist for them. So I played a lot of Dota 2 and, there's like a, I don't know. I feel like Dota 2 players have a chip on their shoulder about League of Legends because League of Legends is way more popular, but Dota 2 is like the beautiful game. It's like the pure sport, in a weird way. But yeah, I did watch Arcane, the League of Legends animated series.
Good. Cause my League experience is like 2011 is when I first got into it. So like, they had this little lore thing going on back then. Oh my God, that was a decade ago. I just had a small crisis. but they had this like weird lore thing going on back then that was kind of like, you know, just paragraphs of text and no real direction.
Yeah.
And I think they just like threw that in the trash can and now a decade later, they've released Arcane. And so there's this new docuseries out, Arcane Bridging the Rift. And it kind of dives into all of the making of Arcane and all of that good stuff and kind of how it came to be. I watched a little bit of it. I watched that first episode. We have a really cool write-up about it over on fanbyte.com. But of course, it kind of dives into what it took to kind of make Arcane what it is and kind of get rid of, oh, this idea that, you know, they're just like a bunch of champions stuck together with no real lore. And now they've got more than just like a random music video to Imagine Dragons. But yeah, so Arcane, have you happened to watch the new series or any interest in that?
In the documentary specifically?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have not watched it. I think only the first episode is out now.
Right.
I know featured contributor of the website, Funke Joseph, loves Arcane, loves League of Legends, and they watched it pretty quickly. So they were telling me a little bit about it. And it sounds interesting for sure. Like, I have problems with Arcane from a narrative perspective. I think that does way too much work to like try to gotta hear both sides. A very straightforward conflict in that universe, where there's like a rich overclass oppressing this literal underclass. They're literally people who like live. They're poor people who live in kind of this little underworld city, and the underworld city wants independence from the rich people, and they basically just want to like say, "Hey, our city is our city. We're not a part of your city." And the rich people killed them for that. And then there's sort of this detente going on during the events of the show. And there's a, you know, kind of origin story of these two different characters who are sisters, one of which who becomes in the lore is a cop and one of which is a criminal. And Arcane dives into that stuff. But I will say, I love the way that show looks. So I'm like really interested in seeing like a lot of this, I think, focuses in on some of the animation and stuff like that, and how they have managed to achieve that look is very interesting to me, because it's really distinct and it stands out from a lot of the crowd, especially the crowd on like Netflix. Like Netflix stuff is just not, I mean, circling back to Dota has a animated series as well, Dragon Blood, but it just looks like the Castlevania show, which also just looks like every other show that Netflix does now. Right. It's an animated adult cartoon that's not a comedy.
Right. And that's, I guess they kind of touched that on that a little bit in the docuseries too, talking about like, you know, the video game curse of becoming a game to film or TV or whatever it may be. And League is trying to escape that, I guess. And I mean, as far as games to TV shows, I guess, you know, like we're kind of mentioning, the bar is not that high, so
no, probably it's not been
right. I've only watched up to like, I don't know, I think it's like 9 episodes long, and I'm around 7 or so somewhere. I just watched it because I thought that they put Caitlyn and Vi together, like from how the internet reacted, I thought it was like a thing out the gate, and I was like, all right, I'm here. No. And it's not what I thought, so never mind. I just kind of like checked out there.
Another classic Netflix thing of like, we're going to say in tweets and interviews that these characters are gay, right? But do they ever actually like hook up or kiss or do anything in the show? No.
Yep.
No.
There's a season 2 on the way, I think. So maybe, I don't know. Or maybe there's something good for me waiting in like the last couple episodes.
Nope.
I've been saved. Thank you. Thank you, Nir.
I mean, I think it's worth finishing, especially if you're on that. But if you're specifically looking for those two characters, like, you know, doing anything obvious, no.
I'm crushed. Well, thank you, sorry. League. There's always that. I think they have like a music video or something for Varys or somebody. I don't know. I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel looking, so we'll see.
It's what we gotta do. Yeah. Like that's been history. Well, if you want to go for, you know, big high budget stuff, there's always people making stuff for us. It's just the people, it's just indie people and stuff.
Exactly. Speaking of which though, it's actually, I don't even think it's actually an indie. It's shooting up. I've never heard of this game before, until we had an article go up on Fanbyte about it. But Subway Surfers is the world's most popular speedrunning game right now. Which, you know, sorry to Minecraft. And it's actually beat out Super Mario 64, which when I think of speedrunning, that really is what I immediately think of, even as just someone like from the outside and not familiar with really the speedrunning scene. It's that and like Elden Ring at this point. So when I first heard about Subway Surfers, I thought it was one of those, brand games, you know, like the KFC game. So I thought it was like a Subway game. That's not what it is at all.
You play as Jared. No, you don't play as Jared. Crucially.
You don't. It has nothing to do with sandwiches, actually. It has everything to do with, like, you know, Subways, like the thing that takes you from one place to another. So it is one of the most popular games on speedrunning.com. It has the most active players.
It is the most on speedrunning.com.
Yes. By like, what was it? I think it's 18,000. I had it pulled up here somewhere.
The screenshot in our article shows Super Mario 64 at 472 active players. Subway Surfers is 17,954 active players.
So I'm out of the loop, because a lot of people apparently do know about it. So it sounds like it has a really big scene on like TikTok and in Brazil. So of course something that has blown up on TikTok has just kind of taken over speedrun.com. It's another free to play mobile game. So I feel like I always am surprised by these like mobile games that kind of come out of nowhere to me, because I'm just not big into the scene.
No, me neither. I guess it makes sense though, right? Like if you look at the games that have the most active players on again, even just with this screenshot, I'm not even looking at the most current numbers, but it's like there's Minecraft and Super Mario 64 near the top, like you would expect, but then Stray is right behind them. So it's like, you know, more popular games, more modern games are probably going to surface to the top because more people are playing those and more people have the means to play a like original version of those games. And also just like, you know, as time passes and the idea of speed running becomes more and more like just a normal part of everyday life, the way that video games became a normal part of everyday life for people, it's just like, games that are popular now are just going to become the new de facto. It's not going to be the classics that people played on hardware six generations ago that nobody can buy anymore. It's going to be things that anybody can play, especially a free to play game that has basically zero barrier to entry.
Right. It's cool. No, it's really, really cool. My idea of these things, to see that things aren't, you know, enthusiast level, the Elden Ring is nowhere even in these like top 10 most popular games. There's not a million people trying to break that game. And
it's probably so daunting, right?
Right. I can't get through the first area. Like I just run around there and just die a lot. So I am doing the reverse. But possibly in quite a bit more sobering news, people on the internet being horrible again. We have another story about Destiny 2. So some Bungie employees, a judge actually ordered this online phone company, TextNow, to name the people that were threatening two Bungie employees back in June. In case you aren't familiar, if our listeners aren't familiar, so there were two employees that received a series of really horrifying text messages. So they did things like, I know where you live. I've moved close to where you are now. They tweeted pictures of their actual ID and some really horrific stuff. But it sounds like they actually aren't going to press charges, but they have been named. So a judge ordered TextNow to give up the names of the people that were buying this access and harassing these employees.
TextNow is like a service that promises anonymous phone calls and not anonymous texting or something along those lines, I think is what it is meant to do.
Yes.
But it's like, obviously somebody used that for nefarious purposes. And this, I don't know, Andrea, are you like a huge Destiny person at all?
I'm not. I'm not at all, but I don't know. I just look at any online community and immediately assume horrible, horrible people lurking in it. So I'm not actually familiar with everyone involved.
Right. Destiny, I'm a bit of a lapsed Destiny player, but I do still keep I check in on it every once in a while. I beat the most recent expansion campaign, so I've kept a thumb on the scale, I guess. But it has a pretty notoriously toxic community among big video games right now, which is funny because Bungie itself as a company is very not that at all these days. There was a story a little while ago about how they very much had a very toxic sort of management structure like a lot of other places, but then they cleaned house even before scandal came to light, really. And it seems like they're in a much better place now. A lot of the people who were like downtrodden in terms of like they were the, you know, writers who were probably doing a lot of the best work over there were basically being silenced by writers who were in bigger positions of power, who are now no longer with the company. And now that kind of explains why maybe some of the writing quality in Destiny has improved drastically in the last couple of years. But they are also like a company that has gone out on record and like supported abortion rights and Black Lives Matter. There is a Black Lives Matter like Destiny emblem in game that you can get. And if you like bought it, all the money that they got from that was like diverted to charity funds to help people. And so it's kind of interesting to see that like the community around the game is so vitriolic, but it's like, it's the classic example of like, you can tweet anything about the game and all the comments are just going to be like, I can't believe you nerfed this gun, you bastards, I'm gonna find you. And the obvious like end point of that is somebody eventually isn't just saying that, you know, no matter how they intend it, it's never a fucking joke. It's never funny or good to do that or acceptable to say that sort of shit. But eventually you're going to find somebody who took it to the next level past that. You throw enough darts at a wall, eventually you're going to hit something. And that's where this led. And Bungie was like, hey, I don't fucking think so. And this judge was like, yeah, I don't fucking think so either. Which, you know, seems like a overall good thing.
Right. It's just one of those things. I think it was this past weekend, being someone who is not very familiar with that. But I mean, I play a lot of like Final Fantasy 14. So I'm used to seeing like some of the internet's worst get mad, like over absolutely nothing. But it feels like there's just that extra special, awful toxicity that exists there, because this past weekend, whenever they disabled chat, you know, after that, that situation that was causing people's games to crash, and to just see people go out and look specifically for developers like personal Twitter and things like that. Yeah. It kind of made like this, seeing how this story came to be, it makes sense, unfortunately, like, because there's so many people that just demand access to someone's personal Twitter. And you have no business tweeting at someone, you know, about the game, from like to their personal account, like go away.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of the details in here are just really, really scary and horrifying too. Like you pointed out, but like, yeah, the fact that somebody was like tweeting a picture of an employee's staff ID card, like publicly and like, you know, to show obviously like, look how close I can get. And then saying that they were not safe, like using those words. That's wild. That's fucked up. Like this is something else. It's bad out there in general across like all games most of the time, most online games especially. But boy, this is a rough one.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I don't know where it goes from here. I think even like, you know, the report and then our write up too, it's kind of we're at a hanging position, kind of trying to figure out, you know, what happens. Do they just let authorities handle it there, or are the employees actually going to do anything? It sounds like they're not going to press charges. Bless them. I would be terrified. So I don't know what I would do in this situation. But I hope they are safe, because, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do about some of this, like the online harassment and this kind of issue. But like the thing on Twitter is, I don't know, that's terrifying.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Okay. That is a really ugly one. But we moved to something that is both kind of light and also not light.
It's weird, huh?
Yeah, this story we're about smooching killers. So yeah. I can make that sound better than I just made it sound. But Dead by Daylight, I do love me some Dead by Daylight. I haven't played a lot this year. But they released a game specifically for me. I haven't played it yet, but Hooked on You. So this great article by Natalie, who mentioned that the Dead by Daylight dating sim, if I can get that out, is not canon. So it is not canon that you actually smooch the people putting you on the hook. Sad to report that. Probably the hardest thing I've had to read this week.
Everything is canon and nothing is canon. Canon is a made up thing by corporations to say this is worth your attention more than this other thing. Like, hey, listen, Andrea, you can enjoy this game just as much. I have thoughts about the concept of canon. I'm telling you that you can, this is as canon as you want it to be.
Oh, thank you, Nier. Okay, well, now I'm going to go enjoy my fan fiction today and tell people that it's canon. I feel.
Exactly.
So Natalie's story talks about how it's kind of tongue in cheek, which, you know, usually there's with the killers, if people aren't familiar, there is a huge queer community that plays Dead by Daylight. And I've kind of had a lot of fun like these last couple years that I've got into it watching some content creators on that end. They do a really cool pride thing every year, like with pride flags and stuff like that. And it's just been kind of nice to find that community in something that feels kind of competitive. Yeah. And everyone wants to bone the killers. So Spirit is one.
All the gay Overwatch fans moved over to Dead by Daylight, and you love to see it.
Did they really? Are they all? There's a lot of former Overwatch people.
I know. I don't know. Oh, I'm just joking about like.
I'm so gullible. You can't tell me things because I'll repeat it. Now I'm gonna go tell everybody that.
I will say I know some people who used to play. Anecdotally, I know at least a few people who used to play a lot of Overwatch who don't play Overwatch anymore, but fucking love Dead by Daylight.
Because
it is a Natalie, exactly. It's a class-based game, the class-based competitive game with different characters and like a deep lore. I mean, probably deeper lore than Overwatch at this point. A game that put out a bunch of stuff and then said, "Here's the lore," and then never touched it again for 6 years. I'm always kind of weirded out, not weirded out. Mm-hmm. I'm always surprised by how deep the lore in Dead by Daylight goes.
Yeah. I played for a while without kind of reading all of the, I don't know, they have those little side stories and stuff. And then I started reading them when Trickster came out, just because I was like, I have to understand like why there's like a K-pop dude. Like running around knifing people.
The K-pop Joker.
Yeah. And he's got some lore. He like, I forgot what happened, but his producer, don't quote me on that. I think it's his producer is the survivor that came out with him. And they had, a disagreement. And it was handled the way that you would assume is handled in the Dead by Daylight universe.
Yeah, he stabbed a bunch of people.
Yeah, he was not happy. And he has all these, like, I don't know, the internet, like, thirsted hard after all of his teasers. And they do have some pretty cool teasers for him. So I got into the Dead by Daylight lore. Well, I cannot say that damn word, Dead by Daylight. that and... Pyramid Head is in it, and I don't remember his lore. Yeah. But I mean, it's whatever way they shoehorn him into everything.
I mean,
now.
Yeah, the whole thing about Pyramid Head existing anywhere but except for Silent Hill 2, despite the fact that they put Pyramid Head in other Silent Hill games later, it's weird because Pyramid Head is supposed to be the physical mm-hmm. manifestation of the very specific psyche of a very specific person. And then they were like, wow, this character is really popular, so we should keep putting him in more stuff.
Now he's like the manifestation of everyone thirsting after him. So
exactly.
Well, he's everywhere, you know, now. I mean, that's true.
He gets
originally
down in the first game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or so, in the second game.
I forgot. Oh, wow. It's been so long since I've played that game. But yeah, so not canon. But that's fine, because if you have Nier's approach, everything's canon, everything's not canon, it doesn't matter. Enjoy your stuff.
It's all made up. It's all made up in sense of, like, the all stories are made up, but also it's made up in, like, who decides what's canon? And it's, like, oftentimes, mostly these days, it's, like, some weird executive in a big boardroom says, this is canon and this isn't. And it's just, like, what does that mean? Like, what? You're just saying words and... It doesn't matter. Like, it just doesn't matter. Like, the stories are the stories, and they exist all in within the realm of imagination anyway. So who cares?
We're going to have to do, like, a whole other, like, podcast spinoff of you explaining that to me so I can argue with people on the internet way better. But yeah, speaking of things that are and are not canon, Ystola is stating my Warrior of Light is canon now, and that's what I'm going to say. And that's actually bringing me to our Final Fantasy 14 stories. Hopefully I don't spend 3 hours here now. But so over the week, I know we were talking a little bit about you playing some this weekend here earlier.
Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't get DDoS'd again. I've never actually said that word out loud. I'm assuming it's DDoS.
DDoS. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. DDoS. Yeah, some people say DDoS.
Yeah. Anyway, it happened again over this week because some people hate fun. I was online writing down a million things and taking screenshots and getting ready to work on our really cool database pages. Shout out to Linkshell, random plug.
Go to thelinkshell.com for all your Final Fantasy 14 news and opinions and other things.
And y'all stop DDoSing it so I can keep working. But no, it sounds like they struggled with this again. There were mass disconnects a couple of times. I know I got disconnected. And then you see the dreaded, like, you're the 2000th person in queue. Someone called it the sundering again, which was
funny.
That went around. It was like my favorite tweet of the week was like everybody with a disconnect like circle over their head. And they were like, oh, no, we're getting sundered again. So yeah, it seems like it went on for a couple days. I have not seen anybody else say anything about getting DDoS'd again this week, but it seems like it happens near every big patch. So
yeah, and I don't know why. Like, I mean, I know why to some degree, because people are just assholes a lot of the time is the actual answer. Because like DDoSing is dedicated denial of service, I guess, for people who don't know what that is. And it's basically you just like trick computers into thinking thousands of or hundreds of thousands of people are all trying to log into a service at the same time. Sometimes this is used in the form of like people trying to be dicks for a specific reason where they're like, I'm mad that you nerfed that gun in Destiny 2, you know, stuff like that. And a lot of the times it's just like people who are like, I'm going to show off what a like how powerful I am, like what a good hacker I am. And like if you actually talk to any like computer programmer or actual hackers or whatever, they're like, DDoS attacks are not hacking. They are like the simplest fucking thing in the world to do. And they're not, you know. It's just a big brute force attack. They're not doing anything interesting. So it's like not even good at that. So all it is oftentimes just people being dicks.
Yeah, it's I used to when I worked in retail hell my younger years through college, I used to always tell people to go ahead and update your Christmas console because people without fail every year, PlayStation and Xbox and all of that, they wind up, you know, getting targeted for some of the same stuff. And no one can update their console on Christmas Day. So
yeah,
as it goes.
And actually, sorry, it's distributed denial of service, not dedicated. I misspoke.
Okay.
I'm looking to, if anybody's like claimed, you know, reason for doing this one on this, in this particular case, but I don't know. Yeah. Anyway.
That seems, I know a joke that always like seems to start with the community is that it's all of us trying to log in and it's just like surprising squares. And so we're doing it to ourselves. I actually, because I don't know anything about like stuff like that, I asked someone before who knows way better than I do about these sorts of things. And he was like, no, it's pretty clear like when that's happening versus, you know, everybody's just logging in for patch day. And I was like, oh, okay, so I guess it's not all of us storming the servers trying to play a patch or something. But no, horrible. But there's better news for 14. It's not all terrible. Jeremy Ang, I believe is how you say it. It might be Ong. Jeremy Ong. I should have looked that up actually before. I don't think I've ever heard him say his name out loud. But Jeremy Ang on Cameo. So there's actually a Cameo is for voice actors or other talent to... It's where people can request that they record a message from some of their favorite characters or voice talent or whatever that may be. And this voice actor from Final Fantasy XIV is actually now on Cameo. And so if anybody has played like Shadowbringers or if you're caught up and you're in Walker, he's Fandaniel. And there's a couple of other voice actors on there also, but he's one that just joined Cameo. So now people can request voice clips from Fandaniel, which is incredible. And this clip in particular that we have written up over on Fanbyte is about telling the Lord to hit that bong. Which is what I've always wanted to hear Fandaniel say.
You said telling the Lord to hit that bong, and it makes me think you're talking about Jesus.
It's because my southern accent, everyone just expects it to be Jesus. Tell the Lord to hit that bong. But hearing Fandaniel say that, oh gosh, what does he say? What did he say in the actual game? No, he says daddy. I thought he was gonna say orgy. That was Thancred that said orgy. But we've already heard Fandaniel say daddy. So this just seems like the natural progression of that sort of thing. Nir, how do you feel about Fandaniel and hitting a bong?
I love the idea of Fandaniel telling Xenos to hit that bong. The request reads as follows. I can actually read the whole thing if you don't mind. Hit that bong, milord. Yes, hit that shit. Ah, was that dank puff not pleasing to my lord? The kitchen has prepared another sample for you. Please indulge.
Nier's actually on Cameo now, too.
Yeah, it's very funny. It's just a good goofy bit. I love the idea of more voice actors for these things being on Cameo to just do audio shit posts and like being down for that. It's very funny to me. And I like it from the perspective of, I think it oftentimes puts a face to the voices that, like, you know, oftentimes people just like assume is just a voice or just that character and only associate with that person or that character in game. Not saying that like every voice actor in the world needs to, you know, be public or anything like that, but it, you know, I'm all for anything that reminds people that, you know, human beings are actually behind these games.
Right. Absolutely. There's a couple of others too from 14, I think, on Cameo. I think Thancred is on there. I want to say there's more than that. I think Xenos is on there too. So you could just like write a whole script with these guys
now you're giving me ideas.
I think we should request some budget and meet up later and make some requests. But I think it's really cool, like you were talking about, like putting a face to this type of thing. And I've seen some other really cool stuff just come out of Cameo requests. I always wonder about like the legality of it, because it's their voice, and I think there's like always a joke of like, oh, I don't know who this is or something like that, so they don't really invoke the names of the people.
I mean, they own their voice, right?
Yeah.
So as long as they're not using that character name, I'm sure it's fine until we get to the point where Disney is buying out like Robert Downey Jr.'s vocal folds or whatever.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, I know what I'm doing later, and I need to look up and see.
We need to check some prices, Andrew. Let's get on this.
Need to see who all is on Cameo. I wonder if Ustola is on Cameo. I have requests.
She was in, her voice actress was in a different game this year, and it fucks me up. Like, that is the honest, like, that is why I kind of, like, what's that?
What game? What was she in?
Warhammer 40,000 Chaos Gate Demon Hunters.
Never mind. I probably will never know then. Bless. Oh, okay. Well, I did not realize. I think there's
you really are southern.
I've got it. I have like all these. I'm not a religious person, but I have all of these like random Southernisms that are going to come out that everyone can enjoy. I think John is from the South too. So
oh yeah, he's from Texas. Yeah. He absolutely. You and he, I'm sure, would get along great. Or do get along great.
So it'll be just like John's here with some Southernisms. Oh. No, what was I saying? Oh, there's like a, what is that show? Oh God. Now I can't remember. It's got Gra Hatia's voice actor in it. But he's a person. I mean, he's always a person, but you know what I mean? Like he's
wow. Objectifying Gra Hatia on my podcast. No, in my podcast feed, your podcast.
He's, oh my gosh. I'll remember. Wait, Bridgerton. That's it. Oh my God.
Bridgerton.
That's it. Okay. I've never seen it before. Yeah,
he is in that. Right. Yeah. I've never seen it before either, but I remember people talking about that.
He is not a catboy in that show. So
weird.
I will, I'll watch that and go to Cameo. But we
reminds me of the, this might be lost on you. I don't know what our age difference is, Andrea, but it reminds me of when I heard Cartho Nassi's voice from KOTOR 1. In like an episode of Criminal Minds or something like that, because he was like playing the killer.
Oh my gosh! My terrible secret is that I've never played KOTOR, which like a mark on my
that's
record
not a terrible
at that point.
No, no. That's fine.
I did watch Criminal Minds though. So
really,
yeah. I liked that show a lot. But anyway, I think we do have a couple of more to hit, so I don't talk about Graha for like 45 minutes, I promise. But Bungie, I might need your help a little one on this one nearer then, because I don't know a whole lot about it. So it sounds like Bungie is kind of keeping season 18 close to their chest. And I don't know how that typically goes with Bungie. You know, I don't know how far out they tease some of these things. But it sounds like season 18 in particular for Destiny 2, they're not talking too much about it yet.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to wait until hours before release to say anything about it, which is interesting.
Yeah, I just coming from like my typical service game that we just got done talking about, you know, these things typically start months, you know, out. And sometimes we know, kind of like we do for like 6.0 for Final Fantasy 14, we know a loose roadmap for everything. And I don't know if you know, but is Bungie typically that way? Like, do we have a long roadmap for Destiny 2?
No, not typically a super long one. I mean, we have a very, very broad idea of like, you know, we have some names of some things that are coming later, but they don't really go into deep details about like what that actually means from a story perspective. Sometimes, very often, actually, they will give out like a list of like, okay, this is what we want to change about these weapons over here. We want to like make it so we're in sometime in the future, we're going to be patching these guns so they don't use ammo anymore. And they'll tell you stuff like that, you know, very nuts and bolts kind of information about like where they want to take the direction of the gameplay. But they very rarely talk too much directly about the story, the one exception being really that we have a year or two ago, I forget exactly how long it's been, but they did do a big like drop where they were like, here's the next 4 years of Destiny. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Witch Queen, it's going to be Lightfall is one of them, which I don't know if that's even like a given name or like a completely locked in name. Mm-hmm. But there was like four different expansions and then the Witch Queen, you know, like which has already come out. And so we're kind of like waiting for some of that stuff to play out. Witch Queen came out early this year, late last year, something like that. Mm-hmm. It had been delayed many, many times. So that could be part of this too. Part of the reason that they're being very quiet about some of this stuff is because their roadmap is different than it was originally, because the Witch Queen kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed. And it turned out really good. People really seem largely cool with the Witch Queen as it is. And they've been doing some really interesting stuff, like overhauling all of the different subclasses for every class in the game. So like every class in the game has three different elements that they can embody, like electricity, fire, or like void, I guess, or poison. And all of those have gotten overhauled season to season. So we do know that the next season is going to be the last one of those overhauls, which is going to overhaul like the electricity powers. But for the most part, they just haven't said much, and they really didn't say much about the last season either in terms of plot, which ended up being about like a lot of characters dealing with their traumatic pasts. Mm-hmm. Zavala had a wife who had died in some capacity in the past, or died in some way in the past, and he was being haunted by her ghost. A character called Crow, who's sort of become a fan favorite, especially of Merritt. Merritt loves Crow. is like a big feature of this season now because he had lost his memories like a lot of other characters in Destiny. It's kind of like a lore thing in that game that when you become a guardian, you lose all your memories. But he got all his memories back. So he remembered being a bad guy. But he also has his feelings and memories of being a good guy. So he's like conflicted now. And it's very cute. And yeah, I mean, other than that, I just haven't been following Destiny too super closely enough to say exactly what people are looking forward to, mm-hmm. In terms of like big changes in the near future. But obviously this comes pretty off the heels of, sounds like that Sony Bungie deal went through, I think.
Yes, that's what, and Merritt actually speculates a little bit on that in her write-up of how they're kind of keeping this close to their chest for now. Just how will that play out, and how will that kind of cycle go from here? I know Bungie did that really long. they did that long blog post in the beginning about how things wouldn't change, you know, too much, and right. how things would stay the same, and they wouldn't go platform exclusive anywhere. So there's no need to worry about, you know, suddenly this becomes Sony's thing only. So I guess we'll see kind of how Sony impacts this and how they usually kind of go about this marketing cycle, or yeah. do these updates become more frequent, less frequent, bigger? It sounds like I should play this though. Just hearing you talk about it.
Yeah, I think you would. Here's the thing, Andrea, is like, I think Destiny is a really great game to play when there's like a really interesting new season of content going mm-hmm. on. And then Final Fantasy XIV is like the home that you go back to. And so you need to have that good base. You need to have right. Final Fantasy XIV. And what I'm constantly telling Merritt is Merritt should just get into Final Fantasy XIV because she keeps getting like tired of the grind in Destiny. So I think what you've done, Andrea, is you've just skipped the middleman. You've just skipped the process where you have to play Destiny and instead realized, oh, I should just play Final Fantasy XIV.
There we go. Yeah, that's I need to back off of 14 a little bit because now I'm just like, I downloaded that phone app and I'm like checking it. Does Destiny have a phone app? Because at that point, oh, well, I'm doomed. But no, just hearing you talk about, there's something really cool about, I don't know, experiencing a story with so many people is like this constant phenomena where we're all going through it together.
Yeah. Destiny is weird though, because it also, it, I don't know if you even know this, maybe, and if you do, maybe some people listening to this don't know this, but like, Destiny has the opposite problem of Final Fantasy XIV, whereas Final mm-hmm. Fantasy XIV has that like huge slog at the beginning where it's like, hey, I don't want to play through 50 hours of getting to level 50 mm-hmm. To get to the good stuff. Destiny was like, well, we have that kind of stuff in here. It wasn't 50 hours, but it was like, oh, you have to play like a 10-hour story to really get in. They took all that stuff out. And there's just no way to experience it now. It's just gone.
Oh.
Lots of content is just gone from the game. And they're constantly, they call it vaulting.
Oh, I've heard this. Yeah.
Yeah. They're just constantly taking stuff out. And they've replaced it with like a little kind of encyclopedia button that you can press on the front page when you load into the game where it's like, okay, there was a guy named Dominus Gall. He showed up and he put a big weird sex muzzle on the big orb in the sky. And that let him steal the sex orb's powers. And he exploded, but now everything was fine. But then it wasn't fine because then the big pyramids showed up and that was bad too. And a lot of that stuff you just can't play. Like a lot, there's entire locations you can't go back to. And they slowly rotate some of that stuff back in different ways. Like for instance, Mars was a location in Destiny until that big, like the big first vaulting that they did. And then Mars went away and now Mars is back, but it's like it's not the same location. Basically it's like, it's technically called Mars, but it's like a completely different map, a completely different zone. Mm-hmm. The Leviathan, which was like a big raid area in the game, this big golden opulent spaceship that looks like a lamprey, ruled by a big, like, decadent king named Kallus. Who just loves the Guardians, and his whole thing is that he just writes fanfic about you all day and loves watching you fight, and he just like is on the loudspeaker going like, wonderful, I love a good show, you know. And he's like, literally there's a whole lore card about like how he wrote like a whole series of fanfic about you and him becoming best friends, and you killing everyone in the universe for him until he finally kills you. So he's the last person left. And that place was taken out of the game, despite being like a really cool, great part. And it was brought back in recently, and you don't go to that raid anymore, but you can still walk around that location and see some of those old areas where it's like, oh, this is where the dogs attacked you. And oh, this is where you did the game show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. That's like, I don't know, a dude writing fanfic. I mean, I'm sold mostly minus, I don't know, the Disney vaulting thing. I get kind of irritated just because, you know, people can't experience some of the original 14 content the way it came out. I mean, that's being like weirdly protective of, like, you know, the first experience I ever had with the game. So it's not that big of a deal. So the idea of like, I don't know, Disney vaulting something is kind of strange to me. So maybe I'll give it a shot, and Merritt and I can trade places for a little bit, and she can go try Final Fantasy 14.
Now listen, if this results in you getting Merritt to play Final Fantasy 14, it'll all have been worth it.
Perfect. Maybe we'll do something with Cameo and Fandaniel and see if we can convince her.
Yes, like, oh yeah, let's get Fandaniel and Xenos to just like tell Merritt to play.
Perfect.
There's a free trial up to level 60, my lord.
Oh, has anybody? I can't. Surely someone has done that.
Surely somebody has done that.
Just interrupting the show real quick to shout out one of our other shows, 99 Potions, where the crew is tackling some of the other news stories from this week, too. Nier and Imran are joined by Merritt and Mike to talk more about Pokemon news and the Netflixification of games via things like Game Pass and much more. So head on over to fanbyte.com/podcast to check out all of our other shows. Okay, back to the show. All right. Well, here's another that I think we had this chat kind of the other day, a few of us at work, about Pokemon and the new upcoming games. So I don't actually know a ton about Pokemon, but I do have a soft spot for Ash's original voice actor because this was more my time with it. So 17 years ago, as some of you may remember, Ash was voiced by someone else. And their name, I had it over here. Who was it? Veronica Taylor was actually Ash Ketchum back then. And hasn't been Ash for a long time. I know I felt like I've watched it and kind of wondered, oh, they just changed his voice actor recently. But no, it was in 2005. They changed Ash's voice actor. But Veronica Taylor is actually doing her old Ash voice for a deep dive audiobook, which is kind of cool. And I haven't engaged with that series like enthusiastically in a long time, but this sounds kind of cool. It's called Monster Kids: How Pokemon Taught a Generation to Catch Them All, which just kind of explores the franchise and kind of our era of it. I think we're close in age. I think so. Near. Were you a big Pokemon kid?
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. I fell off Pokemon hard, but like when Pokemon Red and Blue and Gold and Silver were out, that was like, yeah, absolutely.
Yes, that was mine. I have a lot of fond memories of Red and Silver.
I have a really embarrassing story about Pokemon and how much I loved Pokemon that I need to tell sometime, but I don't want to derail you.
Oh no, please tell it and then I'll tell mine and then we'll talk more about Ash.
If you have an embarrassing story, then that's fine.
I do.
Okay, great. I had a thing where I was watching the Pokemon anime at the time, mm-hmm. and I think I've told this story on maybe Channel F or something like that. Another great Fanbyte podcast that you can go listen to at fanbyte.com/podcasts. me and my friend Adam at the time were watching the Pokemon anime, and we were both into way into drawing. So what we did was, we got to the episode where Brock like leaves the group, and he's like, listen, I gotta go train by myself and like do my own thing. And like, he leaves the show, and I was like, whoa, that's wild. This major character, you know, it was like the, you know, 8-year-old equivalent of a character death on a show. Mm-hmm. And we were so torn up about it that what we did was we put up like, PSA in memorial posters throughout the elementary school with like that were just like printed out pieces of paper with like the announcement that like Brock had left Pokemon. And to get the, because we didn't have color printer, we couldn't put Pokemon pictures just on the printed pieces of paper. We took Lunchables, that Pokemon branded Lunchables, and cut out the cardboard pictures of Pokemon on them and pasted them like literally put glue on them, glued them to the posters throughout the entire school. And just like, as many of you know, Brock is like Pokemon.
That is hilarious. And I think we were like almost the same child near. So we would have been best friends as children. Because
my, I believe it.
I know. That is adorable. And wholesome. Mine is, I'm surprised my mom didn't like throw me out. but like, my mom, those like professional pictures, you know, do you remember there was like a thing Pokemon did back then where you could like go to Sears or something? I don't know. It was a huge deal and get your picture taken with like Pikachu or something.
Oh, that sounds familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. They did that. And my mom was like, no, we're not going. We're not going to pay all this money and da da da. And I was like, pissed. I was not having it. And so we had gone to Burger King, I think it was, that had those like, you know, those gold mm-hmm. little coin things.
I had so many of those. Yeah.
They had like Pikachu cups too. So like the cardboard cups, there was pictures of Pikachu on it. And when my mom went to sleep, I cut out all the Pikachus from the cups. And then I cut these very expensive, like, I don't know what they're called. It's like that really nice poster board type stuff. Pictures that she had printed of me when I was little. And I sliced all of them up and stuck Pikachu in there strategically and hung them back up on the walls. So when she woke up from this nap, there was just like all these really nice pictures of me that were just cut up with Pikachu stuck in them.
Yes! So that's so cute.
She kept them because she paid so much for those damn pictures. So now there's just like pictures of me that we have that I have, you know, photoshopped before Photoshop was a thing for me.
Uh-huh.
And pictures of Pikachu.
That childhood memory is worth more than those pictures ever.
Right. I agree. So we both have the same idea, you know, cut up some of this stuff and make do with what we've got.
Exactly. Yeah.
Resourceful.
What is it? Necessity breeds invention.
There we go. There we go. Looping back to the book somehow, I feel like that is so how Pokemon taught a generation to catch them all. Very fitting for the children that were cutting up things and hanging them about their school and home. Mm-hmm. So having Veronica Taylor voice or go back to her Ash voice to explore Pokemon and that generation, kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
But yeah, there was more Pokemon news this week too, just to kind of like hit on it a little bit. Even as someone like not super into it, I love to watch it passively. And I mean, I play the games like casually and I'll beat it, but I'm not like, you know, I don't know anything about types and who's the best. But there was a couple of things that kind of took off. I don't know if you saw this dog, but now I'm obsessed with it.
I did see the dog.
Fido, did you see this?
I saw the dog. I saw Fido.
He's really good. Like, I will probably go catch one of those. That's all I've got to say about him. He's good. I like the cat. The cat surprisingly seems to be the least popular, I think, of the starters. Everybody's like obsessed with the round boy. He's precious. The little fire guy. And the duck. So, but I'm probably going to get the cat and this Fido. For anybody who doesn't know Fido, it's spelt like the bread, so like dough, which is like the most, I don't know, it's incredible. It's terrible, but it's like also incredible that they have called this dog Fido. And he looks like, you know, little thing of dough.
Yeah, with like butter spread over parts of it, like you're about to put it in the oven and it's going to rise. Precious.
I love him.
He has to evolve into like baked bread, right? He has to evolve into like a fucking baguette or something.
Big bread.
Like a baguette wiener dog, yeah.
All right, now I hope that happens, because if he doesn't evolve, oh my gosh, there's a lot of really good Twitter posts though about him, like him in the oven. Oh, that's horrible. Get out of the oven. Oh, bless him. People photoshopping him onto that dog, that surprised Shiba dog. Very good. But no, I found this really cute article by Rebecca Valentine over on IGN. That's this really good roundup of all the great Fido memes that, of course, that people have come up with since they revealed a dog made out of bread.
It's like a chocolate whooper.
Yeah. It's perfect. It's like one of those things that I love about Pokemon. I don't even. Oh, gosh. What is that Pokemon? It says something about being like constantly anxious and aware of its existence or something. Esper. That's what Esper. It is. Yes. The one that's like terrified at all times and like bug eyed. That's me. So I love some of the newer Pokemon, just more casually.
Yeah. Me too. Like very similar to some of the other stuff that we've talked about here. Like Dead by Daylight, for instance. I'm just like, I don't really care to play these games, but I do love to look up from my little fucking notebook or whatever and be like, huh, look at that dog. Look at that little doe dog. And then go right back to work.
Exactly. I kind of had the same reaction. So the other part of this that I kind of picked up through like osmosis about the Pokemon Presents thing is that the legendaries are bikes. And I was in, like immediately like, you know, Final Fantasy 13 when Shiva's a bike.
Yeah.
Of course, I looped it back to that. And I was like, oh, they're doing that with the legendaries. And I kind of thought that in passing, but they really are. Like, they look like them. Bikes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now they're just, I don't know, they're bike legendaries.
There's one that is completely, it's like the fire type legendary or something like that, which is completely unhinged because it is a big bike. It's like a big lizard with two wheels, like a wheel in its ass and a wheel under its neck. But it still has arms and legs, and it runs on its arms and legs. The wheels don't do anything. Why? Like they don't. You just ride on this thing that has these big vestigial wheels sticking out of two parts of its body. And it's a nightmare to look at. There's like a, I don't know what type it is, but there's like a purple one that is just like, oh, this is literally a motorcycle. This is like Makoto from Persona riding her bike kind of thing. And then this other one is just like, looks like, like it's been cursed.
That's like the most Pokemon thing to do. I don't know. That just seems fitting. It's just a bike, but it doesn't use its wheels, but it's a bike.
No. No, it just has. And again, the way it's positioned, it does look like it has a it's not like the wheels are like set to look like aesthetically pleasing. It's like a one wheel sticking out of its chest and neck, just forward like a wheel, like a motorcycle wheel. And then one just looks that like it's shoved up its ass.
I'm looking at pictures of it right now. So there's like the blue one. I'm going to get roasted because I'm calling them like the blue one and the red one. The violet one, I'll get more specific. He looks like,
you know,
he's like
Pokemon, yeah. Red version, blue version.
Exactly. But he's like an aquatic going craft. I don't know. Ooh. And then I see this picture of the red one where he is standing with his wheels. So I don't know. I really hope that he just doesn't use them and they never acknowledge it in the game. I just never uses them once. And we still have to get around on a bike. So.
Fucking Pokemon. What a weird fucking franchise.
Incredible. Well, for our last story, I do want to hit on real quick this situation where it seems like Activision may have plagiarized a skin from an artist. And it came out quite some years ago. So our headline is Artist Claims Call of Duty Plagiarized Its Upcoming Loyal Samoyed Skin. And I wrote this up last weekend, and there actually have been a couple of updates I can hit on. So Raven Software's new Loyal Samoyed skin looks a lot like something that someone posted on ArtStation some years ago. So I believe their name is Sail Lin. They posted this really cool like mock-up of a fluffy Samoyed. I have a Samoyed, so I love them.
Oh, really?
I did. So I saw this and I was immediately like, oh my God, it's Zeus. And then I forgot that there's like, you know, a whole breed of dog out there that looks like him. it's not one, Zeus.
It's not, your dog isn't a legendary. There's not just one of him in right? the world.
No wheels or anything. He's not as special as I like to think he is, but he is. No, he's my baby. So this is not a picture of Zeus, but this is a really cool picture that someone did of a skin for one of the operators in Call of Duty Warzone. And so it sounds like maybe someone over at Raven Software lifted their work. And, you know, of course, all of these things, I like to go into it assuming, oh, you know, no idea is original anymore at this point. You look at it, though, and these things look a lot alike.
Yeah, they're like pretty much one to one.
Exactly. It was not a situation where I felt like I could go, oh, okay, you know, not an original idea. I'm sure everybody has thought about dog skins in Call of Duty. No, this is like down to this, the T.
Right. This is a dog skin in baggy blue pants with a gray parka that is topped by a scarf with a very specific pattern, mm-hmm. and has patches on the left arm and like a little, I'm not sure what that is on the right arm, but there's like a walkie-talkie or something, mm-hmm. some device on the right arm, and the right thigh has like a little like Rob Liefeld buckle or pouch, like a cable pouch. I don't know if that reference plays with anybody. There was a comic book artist named Rob Liefeld. He loved mm-hmm. to put pouches on every character design.
Like no more.
Yeah. And this is egregious. This is just one to one.
Yeah. It feels like we say, oh, it looks like it. This looks damn like the same. So the artist posted about it over on their ArtistStation account. And they said that they were never contacted by Activision or anybody. So they were kind of doing the best they could on Twitter and kind of calling this out and tweeting at them and trying to get some other players to mention it. And it sounds like recently, so just a couple of days ago, Activision emailed them. We don't know, I believe, at this point what the conclusion of that is, but Activision ended up pulling everything, even the last weekend when I reported on this. They had kind of scrubbed everything off of like the patch notes and their Twitter teases. They had deleted all of that stuff. They had not said anything, but they did kind of scrub its existence. So, but of course, the internet never forgets. You can the internet archives still have blog posts that show the dog and the skin. And so hopefully this means that I hope it was a good email for this artist. It's way too easy to just lift this stuff that fans create. Got a lot of thoughts about that and fan patches and work going into games that I'll spare everyone from my long rant, but
we'll talk about it on that spinoff we were talking about right, earlier.
Exactly. But yeah, it sounds like they've been contacted, so I guess we'll see what comes of the Call of Duty skin situation,
or we'll never hear about this ever again.
Right.
The person will be quietly paid and that'll be it, you know. Right. Who knows,
whatever it is, I hope that they do get paid for it. So
yeah,
good luck to you.
They should at least get, I mean, if that thing was in the game and was sold for money, like, they should at least get a slice of that pie that was, you know, for the people who do own it already.
Right.
Or, did this come out or was this announced?
It did not. From what, okay. Yeah. So it was teased for the upcoming big patch. So they have a bunch of stuff coming out and there was like a whole lineup of dog skins.
Right.
And this one was in those skins. So I don't know if the whole like patch thing is, I don't know if all those skins are scrubbed. But even the artist, if you look on their art station, they have like a lot of really cool, like reimagined Call of Duty operator skins. So hopefully they're taking a look back. Of course, we don't know how this came to be, but Activision and Raven Software need to maybe reevaluate how some of these things come down the pipeline.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, there's some shit going on at Activision every day. True. So it's like, It's literally, it was after this story that came live, but there was another story from the other day about how apparently it sounds like Activision has rehired that union-busting firm that they used against Raven previously to try and stop them from unionizing, which did not work. The Raven QA department unionized, and now a different part of Activision has Activision Montreal or something like that. I forget what they changed. It used to be Vicarious Visions. It was an independent developer, but it was a separate entity called Vicarious Visions that had been around for many, many years. And like a lot of big companies that want to basically scrub away that history so that they can fold those people into their things and then put them on making map packs or whatever the fuck. They took their name away and called them Activision Montreal or something like that. Mm-hmm. And though that Q&A department is voting to unionize, I believe, or is talking about voting to unionize.
Yeah, that's one of those things. Of course, it's never okay to lift someone's art. But sometimes whenever I look at some of these situations, I do start to wonder, you know, was this done out of desperation? Is someone, you know, pushed to working really hard? And, you know, people do things that they aren't proud of whenever they're pushed. So I don't know. I look at the working conditions there, and maybe you would not have some of these situations if you had better conditions. So there's that for Activision.
It's Blizzard Albany too, by the way, just to clarify that. I agree with you, Andrea. Like, fewer of these problems happen when people don't feel like they are pressured to keep a livelihood under things like crunch and things like toxic work environments.
Right.
They happen less at the very least.
Exactly. All right. Well, I think that actually closes us out. That's kind of all we have for this week. But I wanted to thank you so much, Nir, for joining me and bearing with me my first time getting to host the show. Hopefully I can bug y'all some more.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved having you on. I've been on this show twice in my life before this. So that's not a true sentence at all. I loved being on with you. Sorry, I've got 27 tabs open on my computer all the time, as is just like normal for me. So I've just been like glancing between different things, like, is there any breaking news or is there anything we need to be talking about that we haven't yet? And stuff like that. And also checking my emails and blah, blah, blah. But no, thank you, Andrea. This was really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll do it again, and then we'll go back and maybe we'll get, you know, something recorded for Cameo, and we'll just play it as the intro and outro.
Mm-hmm. It'll be the intro and outro for the new spinoff, Nir and Dranir, and like Astroneer, our Astroneer podcast.
Very adorable, where we explain canon, what is canon and not canon. So perfect. Well, thank you so much. All right, and that's going to be it for this week's show. Thank you so much to Nirgam Strom for joining me this week to chat with me. You can follow Nirgam over on Twitter at Nirgam Strom, and you can, of course, listen to them on 99 Potions each week right here on FanBytes Podcast Network. Special thanks to our producer, Paul, who you can find over at Polymayo on Twitter. That's PolyMayo. You can also find me on Twitter at Majora, where I share my weekend news beats and talk about MMOs, the bizarre things around them that happen in the community, the endearing culture around them, all that good stuff. And we'll, of course, be back next week with our regularly scheduled program. Thanks for having me. Until next time, you're welcome. Thank you.